If ever there was a biblical reference that's been the subject of wild speculation, it would have to be the mark of the beast. Like any biblical subject, the only way to avoid fanciful interpretations is to firstly understand the context in which the Bible passages appear. For example, look at the verses before and the verses after to help to place it in context. When symbolism is used, as it is with this subject in the book of Revelation, we need to let the Bible interpret the symbols for us. And as we do that now with this intriguing subject, we'll find that the Bible understanding becomes very clear. God is love. Therefore, loyalty is important to Him. And by the way, if you have a Bible, take it out now as we journey together. Peter, what is the mark of the beast?
In order to answer that question, Jeff, we have to look at who is the beast. Whenever anybody asks me the question, what is the mark of the beast, I ask them, what is the beast or who is the beast? And in order to do that, we need to go to the Bible. We've seen in a previous episode in Daniel chapter 7, we saw a number of symbols there. And some of those symbols are picked up again here in Revelation chapter 13, which is where we find the beast and the original reference to the mark of the beast. And as we look at the passage in Revelation chapter 13, notice in verse 2, it says, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne and great authority." Now that sounds very confusing because there's a lot of symbolism in there. But if we compare this to what we learned when we looked at Daniel chapter 7, we can see here a reference that's pointing us back to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel 7, we found that a beast represents a nation, a kingdom, a political power. That's what a beast represents. And we can understand that today. If I said to you, the Wallabies are playing the Springboks tonight, you would know that the Wallabies are Australia and the Springboks are South Africa, okay? Because we just know them by those creatures, those animals. And that's simply what the Bible does, is it identifies a nation, a kingdom or a power by a beast. And we notice here in Revelation 13 that the beast represented is the one that was focused upon in Daniel. There was a little horn power that was central to that message in Daniel chapter 7, which represented the medieval church and its activities and God's judgment of that power. And here we find in Revelation 13, it says, "All the world marveled and followed the beast." That's in verse 3. In verse 5, it talks about this beast power speaking blasphemies. It talks about it having dominance for a period of time. And so we recognize as we look at this passage from Revelation 13, 1 through to 8, we see that this power is global, because all the world will end up worshipping the beast. We recognize it's religious because worship is involved, and we recognize that it grew out of the Roman Empire.
They're pretty identifying marks, Justin.
Very much, very much. And this is not a new interpretation that we're hearing here. This has been understood for centuries, that this power coming from Daniel 7, the marks here in Revelation 13, has been identified by great Bible scholars for centuries and centuries.
And the reformers,
very
Wesley
much so.
And Knox, and we're not introducing something new that no one's ever taught before. People taught this for a long period of time. And
I think that's a very good point, Sandra, because sometimes, in the age in which we live today, when some people hear this, they say, this is some new concoction that you've come up with, when in actual fact, it's not.
It's an old truth. It's an old truth that's forgotten or lost. And it's more relevant today, Jeff, than it ever was. Yet today, so many people just seem to they pretend that the book of Revelation doesn't exist and these things somehow don't impact us when we're living at the business end of all this. We're at the time where all this really matters.
I've often thought, you know, we ought to love the book of Revelation because, as it says in the first verse, it's the revelation of Jesus. I mean, if there's one book that Christians ought to be really, passionate about, it's the book of Revelation. But unfortunately, as you've just said, Justin, most people today hardly ever studied, and they know nothing about it.
No.
You mentioned something in your introduction, Jeff, where you were talking about the Bible interpreting its own symbols. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do here, and that's why we've said we're comparing Scripture with Scripture. Mm-hmm. We're allowing the Bible to teach us that these beast powers represent nations, and there is other symbolism that we'll unpack. You notice here in verse 8, for instance, of Revelation 13, it says, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him," that's the beast, "whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So here the Lamb is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb. And again, it's using symbolism. You know, why is Jesus a lamb? Because he was the sacrifice. He was the one who was sacrificed. And we remember when Jesus was baptized, how John pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So again, we're looking at a symbol that the Bible itself interprets.
Justin, what's the issue here then? You know, we're talking about the mark of the beast, and we're identifying the beast as a worldwide power. It's religious. It's opposed to Christ. What's the issue?
Two words, Jeff: obedience and worship.
Yeah.
If you look at what sandwiched this all in, we should always look at the context when we're reading this. Mm-hmm. And we come to the end of chapter 12 of Revelation 12, just before we get the description. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." The commandments of God is obviously an issue, because as we get to the other side of it, the two bookends, if you like, in Revelation 14 and verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So it's clearly an issue over obedience to the commandments, and the word worship is used again and again. If you look there in Revelation 14 and verse 9, where we're talking about the warning God gives regarding the mark of the beast, it says, "Then a third angel followed, saying in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast,'" the issue is worship and obedience. Those two issues that are riding right through. And I believe God's made it very clear to us that it's going to be over the Sabbath and a false Sabbath worship.
Okay. Sandra, today, you know, when you talk to people, the commandments are not always a very popular subject, are they?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
I mean, you'd think that as Christians and people, that we would think the commandments are top priority. But I find when I talk to people that they're very opposed to the commandments.
Mm.
And I guess, therefore, it's not surprising that the book of Revelation, pointing out the issues in the last days, identifies this issue over the commandments as being such an important issue.
In the middle of Revelation 14, you have these two positions contrasted. In verse 11, it talks about those who worship the beast and have the mark. And in verse 12, it talks about those who are faithful to Jesus and keep the commandments. So you have this contrast between those who receive the mark of the beast and those who are following Jesus. They have the faith of Jesus and they keep his commandments. And therefore, that tells us something about the mark of the beast. If you keep the commandments of God and you have the faith of Christ, you're not going to receive the mark of the beast. So it helps us to understand the context.
Sorry,
I think also another issue at stake is our freedom.
Yes.
Something's being forced. Revelation 13, 15 and 16 says, "He was granted power," this is the beast from the land, "he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." Mm-hmm. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So I remember I used to cause people to trip. I'd stick my foot out and cause them to fall when I was in primary school. No. Isn't that terrible?
Yes.
You know, and so when you're causing something to happen, it's your freedom also.
It's enforced, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's an important point here that you're moving towards too, Jeff, because we think of the mark of the beast and everybody wants to know what is the mark of the beast, but we also have to recognise that everybody at the end of time in the book of Revelation is marked or sealed. There is the mark of the beast, but there is also, written about in Revelation chapter 7, is the seal of God. In other words, there's those who are opposed to God who ultimately receive the mark of the beast, but there are those who are faithful to God and worship God and loyal to God who receive the seal of God. And that doesn't often get as much publicity, I guess, as the mark of the beast. But everybody is ending up in one of those two camps, either with the seal of God or the mark of the beast. I guess the link for me, you know, if I think about those two words, it's the word I would use is identification. If something is marked, it's identified as something, right? If something is sealed, it's identified by that seal as to whom it belongs, I guess. So the link I would place between those two words in English, at least, is identifying.
The symbolic nature of it's important here too, Jeff, because there's a lot of people that are frightened to scan something at the shopping centre because they're going to get the mark of the beast. People are making decisions. This is choices we make. We're going to be forced to the point that the death penalty will be associated with it. But in the end, we make a choice, and that's why I think the seal of God on their forehead or on their hand, they're either making a choice or they just go along with the crowd. It's not, I'm not going to pick up a bank card and it'll have a number on it, and I get tricked into it that way. I'll be deceived through whom I obey and what I'm doing that way. And it's important that we don't think it's somehow some sneaky mark that the government gives us or something like that.
That's a very good point Justin makes. It's in our thoughts and in our actions, I guess, is what you're saying, because we recognise when you read Revelation 13, the issue is worship. It is worship. And, of course, we do that with our minds.
We've discussed the beast, found that it's a worldwide power, it's a religious power, it involves our loyalty, as Justin has been saying. But what is the mark of the beast?
Obviously, if we've discussed the beast and identified the beast as the medieval church, the great church power, then the mark has to come from the beast itself. And therefore, it has to have a connection to worship. We've said before that this is a global power, it's a religious power, it grew out of Rome, and the mark itself is something that comes from that beast power. It's something that they use to identify, I guess, who they are as a people. And I remember when we talk about the contrast between the seal of God and the mark of the beast, I identify the mark of the beast as enforced religious observance. Now, we can be more specific than that, and we will unpack that. But why enforced? Because you've mentioned before, Sandra, that it's caused. They cause people to receive this mark on pain of death or on pain of, you know, financial loss or not being able to buy or sell. And it's a religious observance that is taught here.
And Justin, it has to do with the commandments, you were saying.
It has to be about the commandments. The Bible is making such a strong point through that repetition and that contrast. And it's actually been set up throughout history this way, that these great powers that are being described here in this book are not sort of hiding this issue either. For them, it's a clear issue as well. And if the commandments are important to Christians, there's 10 of them, not 9 of them. And so often I hear today, Jeff, people will say, yeah, the 10 commandments important, and they'll go through 9 of them. But the one that I believe is at the heart of this great issue is the forgotten commandment of our day. And it's about worship.
And it's the only one that starts out, remember. Yeah. It's like God had this inkling that we were going to forget
If ever God had a brand, if ever he had a logo, it's found in that commandment. It's the longest commandment. It's the heart of the Ten Commandments, and it's regarding the Sabbath. And if you mention that to so many Christians, they think you're some crazy legalist. And I say, oh, well, what about the commandment, don't commit adultery? Oh, no, that one's okay. Don't lie, well, everyone agrees with that, even people in society. But all of a sudden, one of the Ten Commandments is somehow, oh, no, that was nailed to the cross. This is a big one.
Right.
This is a big one.
Peter, I want to come back to you and ask the question again.
Yes.
Then what, if it's to do with the commandments, what is the mark of the beast?
All right. Let me perhaps explain this by my own personal story in regard to this issue. I mean, I was raised in a fairly secular home in Birmingham, England, in the UK, and I wasn't really religious, but I remember being taught at primary school that Sunday was the first day of the week. And you can see this on calendars, you can see it in the dictionary, you can see it in the encyclopedia. I remember being taught that at primary school. And when I discovered the seventh-day Sabbath that we've heard about in the presentation that we've talked about here, when I discovered the seventh-day Sabbath, I was amazed at that because it was so simple. It was plain, it was biblical. The Bible clearly identifies the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord. And so then we say, well, what then would be the mark of the beast? This is a question we're asking. I want to read you a statement in relation to that. This comes from a Roman Catholic publication called The Catholic Record, September 1, 1923. And this is what they said in that publication. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. In other words, the church of Rome, the medieval church, clearly identifies for them this changing of Sabbath to Sunday is a mark of their authority. This is what they claim. And so when we look at the Seventh-day Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, as clearly God's people are keeping the commandments of God at the end of time. They have the faith of Jesus. They keep the commandments of God, one of which is the seventh-day Sabbath. And we contrast that with the observance of a different day, a day that God doesn't bless or make holy or sanctify, a replacement, if you will, for the Sabbath, and then the church itself claiming that this is a mark of their authority, then enforced Sunday observance at the end of time will be the mark of the beast.
See, Sandra was pointing out before, and I thought it was such a good point, that the Reformation, you know, Wesley and Knox and Calvin and all of these great reformers all taught exactly what we're teaching here. But when they broke with the medieval church and they came out, many of those reformers, Luther and so forth, came out of the medieval church, the Church of Rome, they kept on some of these changed doctrines. Mm. And so those of us today, like myself, I was brought up to keep Sunday. And we have simply been taught by our parents. And our parents were taught by their parents, and their parents were taught by their parents. And so, and it's come down to us by tradition. And why wouldn't you believe it? It's been around for hundreds of years.
That's right. For sure. That's right. And Jeff, it's important to note no one has the mark of the beast today. And this is still something we're talking about coming, but I think it's getting very close. It's no one has it today. And there are so many beautiful, genuine Christian people who worship God in faithfulness on Sunday, and they do so with a clear conscience because they haven't been confronted with this great truth from Scripture. But I meet so many people, Jeff, that want to make this some, oh, look, you do what you like and I'll do what I like. They make this an issue that somehow it's not important to them. I want to tell you, it is absolutely important according to the Bible. The most severe warning ever given in the entire Bible, you can go cover to cover, is about the mark of the beast. So this is a big issue to God. And even in society, we know that whoever you obey, that's who you belong to. And I can use the illustration of my beautiful wife. If and this is all hypothetical here, but just say my wife is out in the front yard and the neighbour, another lady, is out in her front yard and they both cry out to me to do something.
Oh, we know who you're
going
to run to. Yeah, we
know. Who am I going to obey? If I'm smart, I'm going to obey my wife. But I'll follow her because I love her. That's what this issue is about. It's about love. It's about I'm going to follow God and His word, though the heavens fall, because I love Him.
And the other thing, it's definitely about love. God just loves that church so much. You know, He loves everyone no matter what you currently believe. He loves all of us, and He's just busting to get back into that relationship with us. And, you know, to be able to share this truth with people is an awesome responsibility. God just wants to get back into that relationship.
And we must never forget in our discussion, we are in a battle.
Exactly.
We're in the midst of a huge battle that's going on. This cosmic war, the great controversy, this epic journey, and the devil is using his counterfeit to deceive millions.
Yes.
And because of our upbringing, most of us have never been taught this.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's not a matter of, as you say, Justin, a fight over days.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's you know, it's like the flag. I've often thought if I had a Nazi flag, you know, fluttering outside my house, could I blame my neighbours
really?
If they think I'm a Nazi? Yeah. I can say I'm a loyal Australian. Mm. But while I got the flag, that says everything.
Yes.
And it seems to me that the Sabbath is the flag of indicating our obedience.
You know, that talked about that it is a relationship of love that we have with God, and we want to obey him because we love him. Mm-hmm. But it's also about loyalty that you've just alluded to there, Jeff. And, you know, why I'm glad that you mentioned the epic struggle that we're in. We're in this epic battle between good and evil. Why would the devil have any interest in attacking the Sabbath? Why would he have interest in doing away with that and introducing something else? And it's because it is a symbol that we belong to God. God is the creator. Yeah. It's a symbol that God sets us apart. When we come to him, he sanctifies us. The Bible talks about sanctifying the Sabbath, setting it apart for a holy purpose. And that's what he does with us. And it's a symbol of redemption. It's a symbol of that we belong to him and that we are loyal to him. And so the devil doesn't like any of those things, and he will attack the Sabbath. He doesn't like the fact that God is creator. He wants to obscure that truth as well. And so there are many things, many reasons why the devil would want to attack that commandment.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I just want to ask you, because sometimes we hear the idea that the Holy Spirit is the seal.
Ephesians 4:30 says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. And, you know, what the Apostle Paul's speaking about there is that when we accept Jesus Christ, that we are given the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he preserves us, if you like. He works in our life and our influence. The Sabbath is a sign in Ezekiel, and it's a symbol of God's work in your life as well. That the two are different issues, and to think that somehow the Holy Spirit sealing us and you can't have the Sabbath as a sign or a seal is a completely different issue. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath, as Peter's been saying, it has all those attributes of the Creator, mm-hmm. and he's not only the Creator. There's actually another Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy where it states that he's our Redeemer as well.
Wow.
And so, okay, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption there in Ephesians 4:30, but it is the Sabbath as that great sign of God. And when I worship him on that seventh day, there's no reason to do that in creation. I've got months and years from the lunar cycles, but I have a weekly cycle because I say I have a Redeemer in Jesus and I love him and I acknowledge him as my great Creator and Redeemer every week.
Yeah.
And we're not suggesting that the Sabbath is more important than the other nine, but God obviously knew that in the last days that was going to be the issue over the commandment. That's why he identifies his people as those who are faithful to Jesus.
And which other commandment has got the controversy surrounding it today? There's no controversy on the other nine. There's only controversy on one. And I can take this book and this book alone, and it's crystal clear what I'm supposed to do with it. But if I put tradition and I put what everyone else has always done and what their grandfathers, grandfathers, grandfathers have done, well, I get a bit murky and clear. But if I go just to the scriptures and I say, thus says the Lord, it's a very, very clear issue. And that's why I think God is going to allow this to become a great issue, because all those people that are faithful to him and his word, they have no chance of being deceived because they're going to follow the Bible. They're not going to follow tradition.
No. As we think about this great epic story, we must never forget that we are in, not as just observers, but we are participants in this great controversy where the devil is trying to counterfeit every single truth that there is in the Bible, including the Sabbath. Mm. We've seen the way the devil works through the beast in the last days. That's going to be one of his main agencies to deceive people into following the counterfeit rather than God's truth, the Sabbath. And so the issue in the last days is really a matter of loyalty to Jesus. And we demonstrate our love and our loyalty to our Savior by the fact, as Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the mark of the beast is the very opposite to keeping God's commandments. That's why we've noticed in the book of Revelation that those two groups are contrasted in the last days. There are those who are faithful to Jesus and those who keep the commandments. On the other hand, there are those who get the mark of the beast, either in their forehead or on their hand. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us to Jesus. It's the work of the Holy Spirit on my heart that pricks my conscience, that says, this is the way, walk you in it. And you know, I love that verse that we have mentioned here in the book of Revelation. And I'd like, if you have your Bibles, I would like to encourage you just to look it up, where in the last days, God says, Revelation, the 14th chapter in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And dear viewer, today I want to be part of that group that God identifies as those who love Jesus and love his commandments. They're not antagonistic. They fit together like hand and glove. They go together. And God identifies his true people in the last days, among all the confusion and the conflicting ideas, as those who are faithful to Jesus and faithful to his commandments. And I pray that God will help every one of us to make our decision. Like Joshua in the long ago said, as for me and my house, we're going to be faithful to Jesus. And I trust that you too will be faithful to Jesus and loyal to his Ten Commandments. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I just want to thank you again for the very clear, simple teaching in your word. In the last days, there are going to be only two groups of people, those who get the mark of the beast and those who are faithful to you and faithful to your commandments. Lord, please help us to understand that the issue is not a fight over days. Rather, it's a fight of whether we're going to be loyal to you or we're going to follow the counterfeit. Bless us now as we continue to study. May our hearts be receptive to the impression of your Holy Spirit day by day. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.